We're so happy to have all of you here worshiping with us on this Memorial Day Sunday. And we're still celebrating the spirit of motherhood. Everyone in here has one thing in common. You all have a mother. You better. All of us have a mother. So good to see my friend Tom Gerasi here today with us. God bless you. And all of my other friends who've come to be a part of today's worship service. Pastor Metcalf preached an awesome sermon last Sunday. And I remember a few days before he was writing his sermon, he says, "Pastor, I'm going to preach on this, the reward of obedience." And I said, "You know what? That inspires me." As I thought about and listened to his message yesterday, or last Sunday, forgive us, and yesterday, because I rehearsed it in my mind, I thought about the reward of faith. The reward of faith. Did you know that God rewards faith? Amen. All faith is rewarded. Let me say that again. All faith is rewarded. Now, we need to make sure our faith is in the right person. So when I say all faith, I'm giving you a caveat. What does that mean? Buyer beware. Make sure that you understand that I'm talking about faith in Jesus. All faith is rewarded. Y'all believe that today? Then go with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. The reward of faith. Let me read verse 21 to you, where we find a tired Jesus. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Matthew 15, 21 from the New Century Version. I love this title, this caption, "A Tired Jesus." That's why he left Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem and Gennesaret, more technically speaking, where he was. He had worked miracles. He had fed 5,000. He had walked on water. He saved Peter from drowning himself. He just had a religious debate with the Pharisees. You know what? He's tired. And it speaks to the humanity of Jesus Christ. That's why we worship him. He is both all God and all man. And just like us, he got tired. And so he says, "I need to get away." Sounds like the Southwest Airlines commercial. Got to get away. Yes, he had to get away. And so he left where he was, all the arguing of the religiousness and the bickering over whether or not you should wash your hands before you eat. He was dealing with all of that foolishness. "No, I got to get away from these church folk. I got to get away from these church folk. They're getting on my nerves. All these little doctrinal things that they done thrown in that don't have nothing to do with the Bible. I got to get away from these folk." I wonder if Jesus thinks the same way about churches today. When folk add a whole bunch of stuff that you should do that really the Bible didn't tell you, you have to do. Amen. You got to do it this way, and you got to do it that way. And when you enter, you must enter through the right door, and you must take 7 steps to your seat and make sure it's your seat. And you can't park in a pastor's parking lot, and you got to do all of this other foolishness. I wonder if Jesus wants to, when he looks at the church, he goes, "Man, you know what? I need to get away. Let me go find a sinner. These folk are crazy. They ain't lost their mind." I tell you, when you got folk predicting that the end of the world, now something's either going on. Either I'm not saved and the rapture happened last Saturday. Or somebody's a false prophet. I mean, you got to imagine Jesus looking at the church today, and it's not much different than the arguments he had with Pharisees and Sadducees over do's and don'ts. Amen. You got a whole lot of religious folks sitting up in church with giant print Bibles looking like they saved, but they ain't right. You can come into a church and everybody's speaking in tongues, but ain't speaking to each other. And while we don't speak in tongues here at Blessed Hope, I can tell you this. It's good to be able to speak in a language that you can understand, but at least say hi to somebody. I received a visitor survey from someone who came to our church a few weeks ago, and I love what the last word said in terms of any comments. I felt welcomed in this church, and everyone made me feel like I was part of this place. Amen. And that's what every church should feel like. Not just Blessed Hope. Not just Blessed Hope. But Jesus was tired. He was tired of the foolishness. And so he went, what he thought he was going to do is take a vacation, right? I'm going to go to Tyre and Sidon, and I'm going to get some rest. And to you preachers, I got a lot of preachers in the house today, don't try to do everything yourself. Sometimes you need to get away to a quiet place. Amen. Amen. I got one hand clapped there. God bless you. So he goes away to Tyre and Sidon to get away from the religious rulers who wanted to have a debate. And all of a sudden, look at what verse 22 says. And behold, a woman of Canaan, or if you have another version of the Bible, it may say Syrophoenicia, came from that region and cried out to him saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." Now, this is the setup. Jesus is left to go and get some rest. But he can't get no rest because somebody has found him. And the one who has found him is a woman who is not of Jewish birth, but she is of Canaanite birth. And not only does she find him, she knows who he is. Look at the theology here. She says, "Have mercy on me." The only person you should be asking for mercy is God. That's when people question the deity of Jesus Christ, I just go to scriptures like this and say, why do people pray to somebody and ask them for mercy if that person isn't God? He's the only one who can give you mercy. Amen. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David," the prophetic son of David who would come and fulfill the prophecy concerning the everlasting kingdom that would be in the hands of the son of David. She knew. She had been to Sunday school. She might have been a sinner. She might have smoked a little crack or been out on the clubs, but she had been to church somewhere. Oh, can I preach today? Y'all going to get religious on me. Y'all going to get barbecue on me. All right. Listen, she knew a little bit about what was going on because she comes to him and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She been to church. This ain't no ordinary sinner. You got sinners who ain't been to nobody church. Then you got sinners who've been to everybody church. That's why they still sinners. And went to all these different churches. Got all turned around. And she was in a situation that she couldn't solve. She heard that Jesus was in the city. And so she immediately goes to him and beseeches him and pleads with him and appeals to him. "Lord, you got to have mercy on me. I got a problem." Jesus just got through with problems. And now this woman out of nowhere comes to him with another problem. Those of you who are in leadership in the church, how many times have you tried to get away from a situation only to walk into another one? You know what? I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this. And as soon as you step out, all of a sudden, guess what? There's another problem for you to solve. That's called ministry. And the most important prayer that you could ever pray between the moment you're born and the moment you die is in this verse. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." That prayer will get you from heaven, from earth to heaven, and it'll get you out of hell. It will get you out of hell. You say, I got to say something else. No, that's all you got to say. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." If you can say that prayer and mean it from your heart, God will save you. No, I heard this technical thing. I got to say this and I got to say that. Listen to me. "Have mercy on me, O Lord," will punch your ticket for that old ship of Zion. That's all you got to do. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." It sounds like there needs to be more. You got to understand, Jesus has done everything. You ain't got to do a whole lot. And he don't really want to hear a whole lot from you. You don't need to make no deals with him. You don't need to task him. If you get me out, I'll do this. Just have mercy
on me, oh Lord. If you're broken, that's your prayer. If you're an addict, that's your prayer. If you done made a mistake, that's your prayer. If you've lost your job, that's your prayer. If you just came in church the first time this year, that's your prayer. That's your prayer. See, let's not be religious and try to put all kinds of sugar and coating and all that other mess on it. Oh, I need you in the midnight hour. Have mercy on me, oh Lord. See, I got delivered out of that some years ago. Now I know him. I really do know him. And he don't need a whole lot of speeches. Hallelujah. Because he knows your heart. Jeremiah puts it this way, even before you ask it, he already know what you gonna say. He got you covered. So you ain't gotta be all long-winded with it. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She had a daughter who was severely demon-possessed. Sounds like bad girls behaving badly. You have to have teenagers in your house to understand that joke. You really do. You got to have a teenager in your house to even come close to getting what I just said. And some of y'all religious folk who want me to believe that all y'all watch is the National Geographic Channel, you ain't tricking me. I just watch the Learning Channel. What you learning? Don't have me go there on you. Then you have the cry of the helpless disciples. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Sometimes Jesus does that. And let me just break this up a little bit. If he does not answer you, it has nothing to do with you. Ooh, what did I do? Did I not say it right? Did I not do something? Oh, it's because I missed church. Stop doing that. You driving me crazy. Look, that's not it. Yeah, don't do that to yourself. Don't beat up on yourself. If he doesn't answer, it has nothing to do with you. Well, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Okay, well, get the sin out. You got the sin out? Yeah. Did you get a word? No. Guess what? Now what do we do? Sometimes God is silent. Why is he silent sometimes? So you'll shut up. That's how I like to do with my kids. They blah, blah, da, 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 and I'll just sit there. Are you listening? Yes, but you're doing all the talking. There's no need for me to speak. Sometimes God is silent, waiting for his kids to shut up because they don't think he knows what they have and what they're going through. Now, Jesus knew this woman would come to him. That's why he went to Tyre and Sidon, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to just try to understand something, that your job as a Christian is not to figure out why your prayer isn't getting answered at a particular time. Your job is to wait. Your job is not to ask God when. Your job is to wait. That's why Jesus upbraided the disciples when they said in Acts chapter 1, will you now restore the kingdom unto Israel? Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons. But guess what? You're going to get some power. Oh, don't get me there. No. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you and such and such and such and so on. Quit trying to figure out when. Wait. Now, look at the disciples. The disciples go to Jesus. So the woman has come to Jesus, and now the disciples go to Jesus because they can't help her. They walk with Jesus, but they can't help her. They saw the miracles that he did, but they can't help her. Peter, who just got finished walking on the water in chapter 14, he can't help her. They just witnessed him feeding 5,000 with two fish, five loaves of bread, but they can't help it. What is Jesus, she getting on our nerves. Please tell her to go away. I think sometimes we as Christians behave the same way. Lord, we don't want these kind of people at our church. They got problems. We want people with money. I'm going to preach this. I want you to turn up your lip at me because I'll preach even that much harder. Yeah. Understand that the church was invented, created to be a healer and not a bank. I'm not going to let this sermon get away. Everybody who may suffer from whatever they got going on in their life has a right to come into the church and receive the same respect and love and dignity as everybody else. The disciples, they didn't like the fact that she was bugging them with this problem. Oh, these people, they come, they got so many needs. Jesus, why did you put us here? All here in North St. Louis. Why couldn't you send us to West County? Didn't like that one, did you? Because North County, West County, don't matter. Folks still need healing. Oh. Everybody need a ride. Fell food pantry, we running out of food. Get some more. Come on now. So you see, you have these impotent disciples who are looking at the woman as a problem. And I wonder if our churches do the same thing. We see the problem, but we don't see the promise. All we see is the promise. Send her away. That's kind of rude, isn't it? For she's getting on our nerves. I know that the NCV gives us, she cries out after us, but it just doesn't serve it justice. She's getting on my last nerve. Send her away, or him away, or them away, or they away, whatever. Send these folk away. Tired of them begging. How many of you got a cousin Al who begs all the time? Lord, send them away. They're going to come over your house for barbecue tomorrow, and they're going to eat everything and do nothing. And then they're going to say, oh, y'all have some left? Well, Josephine, she didn't make it. I'm going to drop some off at her house. He lying. He going to eat it later. But at least he going to get him a to-go plate with some peach cobbler and some baked beans and the last rib. And no, he's not going to wash the dishes and he'll be back next Memorial Day. Lord. Getting on my nerves. Send them away. Finally, Jesus breaks his silence. Verse 24. But he answered her and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is a very strange answer to a woman who is begging and pleading with him to just simply cast out a devil out of her daughter. He says to her, listen, I was not sent to you. I was sent to the lost house of Israel. Now, there's an interesting irony in this passage that I want to lift up to show you how God works and how merciful he can be. Jesus was actually trying to get away from them folk. I'm talking about the lost sheep because they were getting on his nerves. But then he finds other lost sheep. And so in effect, what we see here is a setup for the woman. That's what we see here is a setup for the woman. Look at what Jesus says. I'm not going to do what you asked me to do because I wasn't sent to you. I was sent to them. That's a rude thing to say, Jesus. But you got to understand, that's not the last thing he said. And you got to work with me here. You can't just get hooked on this verse and go, ooh, why would Jesus do that? I guarantee you, you're going to find out in a few moments, but you got to stay with me. Amen? Yes. Listen carefully. Go to the next passage. Verse 25. Y'all like verse by verse? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with the Bible, is it? And then she worships. She came and worshiped the Lord, saying, Lord, help me. I love this woman already because she isn't giving up. She goes to Jesus. She comes to him the first time. The disciples, she's crying. The disciples say, please send her away. She's getting on our nerves, Jesus. Let's just get some rest. Jesus tries to send her away by saying, I didn't come for you. I came for these folk over here. And she said, yeah, but you know what? I got to worship. I can still worship you. Hallelujah. I can still worship you. And so she bows down before the Lord and she begins to worship. And notice what she says. Lord, help me. Sometimes it's all right to pray for yourself. Lord, help me. She bowed down to the Lord and she worshiped him. She implored him, we like to often say, to ask him to consider her and to have pity upon her. Lord, I just need you to help me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just get me through this day. It's been a mess, Lord. You know what I'm going through. You know the problems I'm having. Lord, help me today. And many times, we think that all we have to do is worship and that'll get the job done. But I'm here to tell you that's not always the case. There are some things that you go through that you're going to have to do more than worship. What can you do more than worship? I'm going to share that with you. You have to understand that just simply shouting Jesus is not going to get bread on your table. It's not going to make everything all right. If that were the case, y'all wouldn't need them. Because you don't worship him, he provided, worship provide. What is that? What kind of relationship is that? That's not even a God, child relationship, a father-child relationship. That's a vendor-consumer relationship where God is the consumer and we're trying to access blessings from him. We don't even have a human relationship in terms of compassion and what God is. But there's a lot of churches that preach that stuff. Amen? Amen. And there's this saying, when the praises go up, blessings come down. Sometimes. Amen. Not all the time. Sometimes when the praises goes up, rain comes down. I want to preach to Christians who want to grow. Not Christians who want to have a show. Christians who want to grow. Sometimes when you praise him and you praise him right and you think, oh, wow, what a worship service, then trouble still comes. Now, if you need some type of Bible reference, I got 42 chapters in the book of Job that you can read. When you praise him, blessings don't always come down. They do, but not all the time. Don't just sit there and get your watch out going, I'm waiting for my blessing when it might be rain. I'm worshiping you, Lord. I'm not going to leave. Do you do this until you do that? Well, go to verse 26. We have a Savior who is unmoved by worship. Not because the worship is wrong, but the worship is not sufficient for what he wants to do in her life. Some of y'all need to listen really carefully to where I'm going with this. Going to church is not enough to fight your battle. You got to be ready for a new level. And I'm here to take you to that next level. Listen to me very carefully. Going to church, sitting in a blue chair or wherever you can find a seat is not sufficient to get your prayer answered. You got to be willing to take another step. Other than simply getting in your car and driving down the highway and going to church on Dunn Road, you got to be ready to take it to another level, especially if you're going through what this woman went through. And see, some of us as Christians, we're disillusioned, but we don't have the right to be disillusioned. We think that if we just show up, God is just going to do all of this stuff. But there's a level that when God is trying to do something really special in your life, there's a level in which worship is not sufficient. Some of y'all don't like this, but if you just listen, I will help you grow. The word of God will grow you. He's unmoved by worship. Not because the worship is hypocritical or the worship is disingenuous, but he's trying to do something here in the life of this woman. And boy, we got a lot to learn about this text. But let's go to the next one. Verse 27. A faith stronger than no. Well, let me go back. Go back. Take me back to verse 26 because I got some meat on those bones. I need to eat. Yeah. Because we got to do the setup. But Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. I thought he was rude in verse 25. Or verse 24, rather. Forgive us. Verse 24. I thought that was rude when he said, I was not sent but to the lost house of Israel. Then he called the woman a dog. He just said, hey, it is not right. Take the bread and throw it to little dogs. You know what? Some of us, we get an attitude when things don't go our way and we stop going to church. Now, she just got through worshiping Jesus and he said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. After she had church service, y'all better listen. See, some of us, see, shouting and jumping is great, and we should shout and jump. If you saved and you're going to heaven, your sins are washed away, you should shout with all your problems and your trials and your trouble. Why are you crying and complaining? You don't live in Joplin. You ought to shout. You can answer your little prayer, your little bitty prayer for a promotion on your job or whatever other little stuff we got going on. Look at what Jesus is doing. This is a setup, y'all. It's not right to take the bread. You know what? When I think about bread, didn't Jesus have an issue with bread in his ministry? This isn't the first time there's a reference to bread in Jesus, is it? I remember when he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights of the devil, and he was about to starve to death. Wasn't it the devil who came to Jesus and said, hey, if you be the Son of God, take these stones. Turn them into what? Watch this. You say, this has nothing to do. Why don't you just listen? Jesus answers the devil. He did. Jesus answers the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Watch the link. Jesus is not trying to answer this woman's prayer so she'll run around and say, oh, look what Jesus did. He's trying to get her to understand, it's my word, not my miracles that counts. When you're ready for the next level, it's going to be the word of God that takes you there, not what he does for you, but what he does to you. When he purges the old leaven and puts in a new lump. When he makes everything right with the word of God and just doesn't, at the snap of your little praise, he just answers like a genie in the lamp. You praise him and you rub in your lamp and he comes a running and he comes on time. He's always on time. You may not come when you want him, da 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 da. I don't know what Jesus y'all serving. That ain't my Jesus. He come when he feel like it. What you know about time? What you know about time? He's on time. How do you know he's on time? Now, have you ever explored that question? He may not come when you want to, but he's on time. How do you know what time is? When he shows up, that's the right time. How do you know that? Who told you that that's the right time to tell Jesus, you're right on time, Jesus? He show up whenever he get ready. And let me tell you about this woman. He ain't ready to answer her prayer. Next verse. Verse 27. A faith stronger than knowing. She said, yes, Lord. You want to call me a dog? Okay, call me a dog. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Listen to me, beloved. If Jesus says no, you keep praying. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, isn't he the Lord? And wouldn't it be against his sovereign authority that if he says no, that I should stop praying? Absolutely not. Did he say stop praying? No. But did he answer your prayer? Yes, he said no. Keep praying. You say, Pastor, that's counter to what it means to be a servant of the Lord. If Jesus says no, I'm going to wrap it up. You're not even believing with me then, because you're going against this text. See? But you're also going against Jesus' lesson on prayer when you had the unjust judge who didn't care what God thought, didn't care what man thought, but a woman came at midnight and said, you're going to give me justice. The man would not answer the door. She kept beating. Get up, judge. The judge answered her. You know what Jesus was saying? If you don't get what you are seeking the first time, you better keep on seeking. No does not always mean no in God's economy. It might mean try harder. It might mean go deeper. It may mean wait longer, but it doesn't necessarily mean just go home and give up. If you hear no, pray and pray and pray until you hear yes. You keep on praying. You get on God's nerves. You keep banging on the door of heaven and say, yeah, it's me again. I know you said no, but I ain't taking no. In the name of Jesus, you're going to have to listen to me. I ain't going home to that crazy child. Jesus, you got to cast that devil out. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to grab you and you're going to have to just drag me along while I'm pleading with you. That's how prayer is, my friends. He ain't looking for no little sanctimonious altar prayer. This is prayer. This is real Holy Ghost filled prayer. This ain't none of that sanctimonious shouting and da 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 da. You don't know what nobody's saying. Nobody know what you're saying. This woman is determined to get her prayer answered. Call me a dog. I'll be a dog, but you're going to answer my prayer. Oh, that takes faith, y'all. Talking about faith. Give me the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know what? Jesus once said these words, I am the bread of life. And when he was with his disciples, as Pastor Smith, as he does our community, he says, and Jesus took what? Bread. And he broke it and blessed it and said, what? This is my body. Guess what happens when you break bread? You get crumbs. And she said, I'll take the crumbs. When you break bread, you get crumbs. She said, I'll take the crumbs. Falling from the master's table. See, the problem with many of us today, we give up too quick and then we set our expectation too high. We don't know what door God is going to open, so you knock on all of them. Right. Pastor, I'm looking for a job. Just want you to pray for me. Well, before I do, I want to see your resume. Right. I ain't got one, then I ain't praying for you. Why? Because you ain't looking for no job. Pray for me. What, somebody go get up and come to your house and say, I got a job? Don't fall for that foolishness. Pray for me. I'm looking for a job. No resume, though. Tell you what, type your resume, then email me, then I'll pray over your resume. I'll pray the anointing of God over your resume. Where do I send it? Everywhere. Everywhere. Well, I don't think they hiring. That's your problem. You've already psyched God out. He ain't going to answer this prayer. He ain't going to answer. Why? It's stupid of me to pray this prayer. That's why you won't ever get it answered. Me and my youngest son, we were job searching the other day. And we pulled up to this place. And I said, we're going to go over here. And we had been about 15 places. I mean, and we run it. See, that's how I work. We start at one end of the block. We apply to everything. Well, I don't know why we go in here, because I said so. I'm driving. Come on, we're going to go in here. We're going to go in here. So he went in. And before I set that up, you got to understand what's going on. I come home sometime, some days ago, and he sacked out on the couch. It's around 2 p.m. Hey, dude, why didn't you? Oh, I tried online. Ain't nobody hired. I said, don't worry about it. We going to get you hired. No, I got to go online. Oh, no. Come on. Get in the car. Got one leg over the edge of the sofa. Big old bag of Doritos. Ain't nobody hiring. But see, that reminds me of Christians. They just laying back in church with a big old bag of spiritual Doritos. God ain't gonna move. He ain't moving. I'm just punching the button for the pastor to give me the right sermon. There's Pastor Tony. Okay, I'm gonna watch him for a minute. Oh, there's Pastor Marlon. I'm gonna get something from him. There's Pastor Harry over there. And no, let me get Pastor Smith. Pastor Jim. Oh, no, back to Pastor Tony. No, let me go back to Harry. Oh, I like that. Got your bag of spiritual Doritos. God ain't gonna do nothing. You need to get up off your behind. Oh, y'all didn't like that? Y'all need to hang around me more often. So we go into this place. And I'm like, you know, playing what's called reconnaissance. You know, I'm kind of sitting in the back. Are y'all hiring? Yes. Yes, we're hiring. Go here and do this and call me and this, that, and the other. We're hiring. We go out in the parking lot. Remember what you told me before we drove in this parking lot. You don't know what God is going to do. Why are you trying to answer your prayer before you ask it? Well, I would ask God for, but I didn't see nothing. I ain't living right. Do you really think he answers your prayer because you living right? You you think you living right now? Do you think you living right now? Are you living so good that God should answer your prayer now? He should. He is obligated based on your lifestyle. Who in here can raise their hand and say, based on my lifestyle, he better answer? Really? Really? We don't know where this woman been. And we don't care. And God don't care either. I'm coming to a close. He don't care where you've been. But when he wants to take you higher, sometimes he will crush you. Sometimes he will take you through trials. Sometimes he will say no. But if you don't give up and you got a faith stronger than no and you can settle for crumbs, guess what? He'll put you at the table. But you got to be willing to accept the crumbs. This woman got some faith, y'all. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, we never did learn her name, did we? Oh, woman, Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There is a reward for your faith. But you cannot just simply, when Jesus says this, you keep saying, keep on praying, keep on knocking, keep on hoping, keep going to your intercessory prayer meeting, keep going to Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. You keep praying every day of your life. You keep on holding on to God's unchanging hands. You keep doing everything that God told you to do until all hell breaks loose. You keep on praying. Quit making up God's mind for him and then say, I would have prayed for you, but I didn't think God was going to move in that way. You don't know him that well. I've known him for 35 years. You don't know him that well. You don't know what he can, will do for you. He's not going to tell you all his plans for you. But I guarantee you this, that you will be rewarded when you have faith in God and when your faith is stronger than no. When it seems like the saints are telling you, honey, you don't need to be asking God for that. Keep asking. Oh, honey, I don't know why you think God's going to answer. That's a crazy prayer. Pray it louder. Saints, you got to learn to get on God's nerves. I know he's a spirit and he ain't got no nerves, but be metaphorical with me for a minute. I'm trying to help you to see something. You keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on trusting, keep on seeking, keep on believing, and watch God. You got to keep on seeking him. Make him your first, your last, and your only option. You can't have a plan B. It's Jesus or nothing. And he will reward you for your faith. Listen, you may not get rewarded in your timeline, but God ain't asking you to tell time. He's asking you to wait. He's asking you to trust. He don't need you to dictate his program to him. He will heal you when he feels like it. He will deliver you when he feels like it. He will come through when he feels like it. He'll make a way when he feels like it. He ain't studying you. It ain't about whether you got a new suit and you can preach and sing and play a little piano and talk about how good God is. He don't care about none of that. Wait. You got to wait on him. He'll answer when it brings the most glory to him. He ain't studying you now. You got to work with me, God, and he ain't got to work with you. You are dust. He ain't got to kiss up to you. Well, the deacon said, I need to move. Well, let me move from my throne in heaven. He ain't thinking about you. He's God. He'll move when he wants to move. He'll do whatever he wants to do. Someone once wrote a song called Sovereign. The Lord our God is sovereign. He'll do what he wants to do, when he wants to, how he wants to. Sovereign means he's got right. He's got the right to rule. He has authority. My friends, listen. Faith in Jesus will be rewarded. Faith in everything else is just a wasted life. There are a lot of people who got faith. If you go to Jerusalem, to the Western Wall, you see faith. People praying and praying over that Western Wall. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. Ain't nothing happened. Called misplaced faith. I see people put their faith in a man. Why you do that? I'll never know. Some put their faith in a woman. Why you do that, I'll never know. Faith in Jesus will never be unfruitful. And right now, that's the choice that you and I have today. Bow your heads. Give God praise for his word. As you consider your life, many of you are Christians already. You don't need a Savior, but you need a rescue plan. You need God to step in a situation. How many people am I talking to today? Raise your hand if you need to be rescued. I see you. I see all of you. God bless you. God bless all of you. You don't need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. You're already saved. You need him to come into your marriage, though. You need him to come into your mindset and get your mind right. You need to rededicate yourself, perhaps. Maybe it's just simply you're tired of walking the race and you're weary and you need to be refreshed in your spirit. You need him to renew your heart. Who am I talking to today? Raise your hand if I'm talking to you. I see you. I see you. I see you. God bless all of you. But then there may be someone who walked in this room who said, wait a minute, Pastor, I do need to be saved. I need Jesus and I need him today. First of all, I want you to know something, that he loves you more than you love yourself. He has more chances than you have failures. If you'll raise your hand right now, he'll save you. Amen. Just lift your hand up. Left hand, right hand, both hands, don't matter. Lift your hand up. He'll save you right now. Well, there's that long sinner's prayer. You don't need to pray that prayer. Lift your hand. He'll save you right now. Ask him to have mercy on you. He'll do it. Do you have faith? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died and rose from the dead? Raise your hand and say, Lord, save me. Have mercy on me. He'll do it right here, right now. And it's not about joining Blessed Hope. Please, this is not an invitation to become a member of our church. Those invitations are not given here. That's between you and God. This is also between you and God, and it's more important than membership. It's salvation and fellowship. Is there one in this room who says, yes, Pastor, you are talking about me. I need Jesus to save my life. Raise your hand right now. If you are that person, do not be ashamed. Every head is bowed and every eye closed, please. If I'm talking to you, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Give us a faith that is stronger than no, that's stronger than doubt, that's stronger than fear. Father, we pray for every individual in this room and for those, Lord, who are unable to be here. We ask, oh God, first and foremost, that you would be glorified in their hearts and minds and answer their prayer according to your divine sovereignty and goodwill and good pleasure. Lord, give your children the ability to wait when it seems so hard to trust you. Give us the courage to depend on you and not on things temporal and material. Help us to have faith. When the circumstances say give up, help us to have faith. When the world tells us that we're trusting the wrong God, help us to have faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God a mighty hand praise.